Thank you. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we, who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection, may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Then Peter began to speak to the Gentiles. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. But each of his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was a little girl, there was one thing that terrified me. I don't know why, but I could not sleep away from my parents. Believe me, I would try. I would go to friends' houses and I would try, but when it was all quiet and everyone else was asleep and there was darkness all around, I would become absolutely terrified. I felt that I must be the only person awake in the whole universe. Even breathing felt painful. I don't know to this day why I was so frightened. Maybe it was because things were a bit unstable at home, and my dad was so depressed sometimes he couldn't go to work in the morning. Maybe I felt like I needed to help my mother or be there if my little brother started to cry. There are all kinds of psychological reasons that I could now explain how I felt back then or why. But none of that mattered to me at the time. All I knew was that there was this darkness. And I was afraid. One summer, when I was 6 years old, my best friend in the world, Heidi, decided that we were going to conquer my fear together. In the summertime, my family and I often stayed in Salem, Connecticut, and just down a little driveway was Heidi's little house. We talked about conquering my fear all day, and Heidi and I made a beautiful little bed of blankets and a sleeping bag on the floor right beside her bed. We lay down, and she promised me that we could talk all night, that she wasn't going to fall asleep. You got it. She fell asleep. And there I was all over again. The darkness all around me. The quiet sound of Heidi breathing. And my terror at being left alone. Finally, I couldn't stand it any longer. And Heidi's bedroom was on the first floor, so I decided that I was going to climb out the window in my nightgown and bare feet. I managed to get the window up, and I got out and scraped my legs on the bushes. I'll never forget watching my little white feet walk up the driveway in the dark, trying to find my way home. There was a little girl born in the town of Magdala. Magdala was a fishing village on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, a prosperous village where hundreds of people were able to subsist and enjoy life. This little girl's name was Mary, and when she grew up, they would call her Mary Magdalene. I don't know what happened to little Mary, but something probably happened to her when she was a little girl, something scary. Maybe a relative hurt her. Or maybe she just began to grow up and started to shake a lot with something that we would now call Tourette's or Parkinson's. Or maybe she started to have seizures that no one could explain, which we now would call epilepsy. Or maybe she started seeing things that weren't there. But by the time Mary got to be a grown-up, St. Luke writes in his gospel that she had seven demons. And in Jesus' day, a demon was something that came over a person that no one could see, something that caused people to do strange things. And we don't know what the seven strange things were that Mary Magdalene did, but we knew that she was tormented. And as a result, Mary was alone. You see, in Jesus' day, they believed that these demons could jump out of a person and into someone else. So you didn't want to go near someone who had demons. That's little Paris. She's running down the aisle. It's okay, Paris. You can keep running. (Laughter) Back in those days, people were terrified of what they didn't understand and couldn't see. So they would have left Mary alone to wander in graveyards or sleep in the desert. I wonder if she had that same fear when the darkness came, that same fear that I once had of being totally and utterly alone. And you know, things are not that different today. We still have people like Mary Magdalene. We have Candy. Candy is a homeless woman who lives near the cathedral. She often sleeps out here on the stoop. Her face is sunburned from too much exposure to the sun. If Candy is feeling calm, she will sit and talk to her hand. If she's having a bad day, she will scream at things that aren't there. Or Denise. Just last week, I saw her rummaging through a garbage can here in downtown. Her legs are so swollen from edema, but she doesn't want to go inside. A few years ago, she would come inside and she would write me these reams of paper that she said were Bible studies, but when I read them, I couldn't make any sense of them. Denise and Candy are trapped inside their own minds, and they are alone. But those were the people that Jesus went to first, the ill and the sick and the suffering. So if you want to catch a glimpse of Jesus, I've always felt that here in the urban core, around the homeless, is the best place to start. When Jesus came to Mary, he made it all go away. All the voices, all the strange things that she did, everything, they went away. And she felt peace. She found joy. And as a result, Mary Magdalene would not be separated from Jesus. Out of all the people that followed him, she alone stayed with him through it all. Even when things started to go crazy and the Roman authorities captured Jesus and they hung him on a cross, she stayed as his life drained away. She didn't even run away when they took his body to be buried, but she watched to see where they would let him lie, her Lord. On the night after Jesus died, I wonder if she felt that same old fear again, fear of the darkness, fear of being alone. And then on the third day, just as the sun was rising, Mary set out in the darkness, walking towards her home, towards the only one who had ever brought her peace. And she knelt down at the foot of the cross, at the foot of the tomb, and she wept and cried. And when Jesus appeared, she didn't even recognize him. That's how convinced she was that he was gone and she was alone again. It's only when Jesus says her name that she realizes she's not alone. Mary. Mary. I used to think that Easter was all about this concept of everlasting life, that I should try to understand what resurrection means, how incomprehensible it was, that I should work on my theology. And yes, it is about conquering death. But I believe that Jesus' rising from the dead is ultimately much simpler than that. God is trying to tell you something so simple about God's very nature. And it is this. God doesn't leave you. God does not leave you. You can turn away from God, you can try to run away from God, but God will never leave you. You cannot even kill God. God will return. God will rise. There is no darkness that the light cannot pierce. There is no despair that can cast out all hope. And you cannot make God leave you. No matter how bad you feel, no matter how alone, no matter how much you're suffering, God doesn't leave. God will always return. God will always rise. I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid in the dark. I don't think I ever will be. Nothing can separate me or you from the love of God in Christ. Nothing. You are not alone. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer. Hear our prayer.
Gracious and loving God, our Heavenly Father, you have called us in this diocese to a goodly community of faith. You have called us also to bring others to know and love you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Because it is only by your mercy that we can do those good things you require of us, we pray that you would give us a special measure of your grace as we seek to be obedient to your great commission. Assist us, O Lord, with the help us as we set out to do those things you would have us to do, to bring others to the knowledge and love of you. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Alleluia! Christ is risen! Oh, come on, let's do that again. You can do better. Alleluia! Christ is risen! That was good. Welcome, everyone. We're so glad you're here today. Welcome, kids. We have an Easter egg hunt planned. Are you trying to find your daddy, sweetie? He's right down there, see? Yeah. All children ages 7 and under are invited to take part in an Easter egg hunt in the Cathedral Park after the service. Is it raining? No. Good. Still in the Cathedral Park then. All children over 7 have a very high-tech Easter egg hunt scavenger hunt thing, interactive, beginning in the Bishop's Garden. Okay, this garden right out here. If you're 7 or over, garden. If you're under 7, outside in Cathedral Park, where the labyrinth is. Does everyone know where that is? Yes? Good, good, good. If you would like someone to say special prayers with you this morning, come up for communion and come to the side altars here, and you can have someone say a special prayer with you on this Easter day and bless you. If you are new or visiting, we welcome you to come forward and take communion. You can hold out your hands for the bread, guide the cup to your lips, or you can take the wafer and dip it in the cup. If you're from another tradition or not sure what you believe, cross your arms and the priest will bless you. And that can't hurt, right? We want you all to come forward and feel part of this service during communion. Please read your bulletin for upcoming events that are happening here at the cathedral. And it is a tradition at this service to flower the cross. So everyone who has a flower, would you please come forward and we will flower the cross. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where with Mary Magdalene, John, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God has redeemed us and made us his children through the resurrection of his Son, our Lord. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and remain with you forever. Amen. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.